Yeah, I would shovel and snow.
Okay, welcome everybody. Tonight our topic is Help from the Lord from Psalm 121, verses 1 to 4. Buddy, would you lead us off with the Lord's Prayer tonight, please?
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Amen. Lead us not into temptation. This is related to our psalm tonight where he promises to not allow our foot to slip, to be tripped up, or to be stumbling into the wrong pathway. And the psalmist says, my help comes from the Lord. And this is how we ought to be encouraged in our times of confusion or discouragement or trouble. We should look up to the Lord. Dan, would you sing hymn number 454, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary?
My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me, so may my love to thee pure, warm, and changeless be. A living fire, while life's dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread, be thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away, nor let me ever stray from thee aside. When end lies transit dream, when death's cold solid stream shall o'er me roll, blessed Savior, then in love, fear and distrust remove. Oh, bear me safe above a ransomed soul.
Amen. Thank you. We're just going to look at the first four verses of this psalm tonight, but Dan, would you read Psalm 121, verses 1 to 4?
I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall never slumber nor sleep.
Amen. Thank you. Before we turn to this passage in Psalm 121 tonight, we commemorate a date in history. It was April the 11th, the year 1997, that a faithful servant of the Lord went home to be with him. Her name was Betty Green. And she was born in Seattle, Washington in 1920. She was one of four children of devout Christian parents. She was a twin. She had a brother, Bill. Her two older brothers went into Christian service. And from her earliest years as a teenager, she had a love for flying. She was inspired by Charles Lindbergh and Amelia Earhart, and she wanted to be a pilot herself. She flew a solo flight as a teenager. But her friends and family and her church encouraged her to devote her talents to serving the Lord. When World War II came along, she was one of the WASPs, the Women's Air Force Special Pilots. And after the war, she established with her linguist Bible translator husband the Christian Airmen's Missionary Fellowship, a fleet of planes that delivered missionaries to various parts of the world and delivered supplies to them. She spent 16 years as a pilot for what came to be the Mission Aviation Fellowship. And she was closely associated with Cameron Townsend, with the Wycliffe Bible translators. She eventually retired from that and then served as an administrative role with the Mission Aviation Fellowship Ministry. And she died at age 77 in 1997. Thus we remember a faithful servant of the Lord. She desired to support those who were preaching and teaching and translating the Word of God through her skills as a pilot. Tonight we have Help from the Lord, Psalm 121. And this is a familiar psalm. It's often cited in various contexts. Its title is A Psalm of Degrees. Some people consider this the Pilgrim's Psalm, the Traveler's Psalm, the Soldier's Psalm. So it has numerous applications of encouragement. And it is useful as an encouragement to the people of God in whatever circumstance we find ourselves. While this particular psalm might reflect some of the same sentiments that David the psalmist often expressed, it actually was written during the time of the exile. And it opens in verse 1 with, I will lift my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? And from captivity in the plains of Babylon, the memory of the highlands, the mountains of Jerusalem, would have been a sight that they longed to see again. It was the symbol of God's presence and God's power. We read that in Psalm 87, verse 1. But as the statement here is, that I will lift my eyes unto the hills. It really means far more than just merely longing to be back home in Jerusalem, back home in Judea. For the rest of Scripture presents God in the context of that heavenly Mount Zion. Psalm 3, verse 4 speaks of that the Lord is in His holy Zion. And Psalm 14:7 also speaks of that our help comes from the one who is on high. Psalm 125, verse 2, echoes a similar sentiment that the Lord is in His holy hill, the holy hill of Zion. So heaven is often portrayed as the spiritual antitype of that literal mountainous area of Jerusalem. It is in His holy throne, His holy heaven, where He oversees all things and He executes His power. The second portion of verse 1 is actually a question. From whence cometh my help? And this is a reminder to us that we need to consider from where we seek help. The Bible constantly reminds us to put not our confidence in princes, to don't look to government or to political leaders as our salvation, for our help comes from the Lord. Similarly, throughout the Bible, we're encouraged and even commanded to not put our hope in armies or in soldiers or in horses and chariots. and thus to remember that our true help, our true hope, rests in the Lord. And even though he's using the analogy here in verse 1 of looking unto the hills, he's looking to the spiritual heights, the heavenly help that is available to us as children of God. And as if there were any question of that, verse 2 makes it very clear. In asking ourselves, where can we look to help? The psalmist answers definitively, my help cometh from the Lord. And this, too, as if it needed further clarification, he adds, the maker of heaven and earth. The Lord Jesus is the creator and the sustainer of all things. He's the one who has promised to be ever in the midst of his people. He said he will never leave us nor forsake us. And therefore, the psalmist resolves to seek his help from the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. In the next verse, he makes a statement that the true God will not allow our foot to be moved. And this has the idea of slipping or sliding, stumbling. And this is an encouragement to us to know that, even as we often sing that hymn, guide me, O thou great Jehovah. The realization that it is God who directs our steps. He's the one who watches over us and protects us and cares for us. He's the good shepherd, even as we made reference this morning. So, when he promises to not allow our foot to be moved, this is a recognition that we have a responsibility to go forward, to engage in the Christian walk, as the imagery of Scripture is, or even as the Apostle Paul says, to run the Christian race. But as we progress in the walk, the Christian walk, the Christian life, the assurance that he will not allow our foot to be moved, that he won't allow us to get into the wrong path, or that he won't allow us to stumble or to trip up, is an encouragement to us to keep our focus upon him, to trust in him. And indeed, though in the flesh we do sometimes stumble, we do sometimes go astray. Nevertheless, if we are quick to repent, if we are quick to seek his guidance, he will return us to fellowship. Even as he restored Peter after his three denials of the Lord. Peter was truly repentant. He was humble. And he returned to fellowship with his other disciples, the apostles, and in his service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Likewise, we are promised that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we can look to him for guidance. The Bible is our roadmap. It's often said that it's our guidebook for faith and practice. Some people use that acronym for the Bible, the BIBLE, Basic Instruction Before Leaving Earth. And it should be our instruction book. It should be that which guides us. It should be that upon which we meditate, even as Paul commended the Bereans for daily searching the Scriptures, to make sure that what they heard from their preachers, from their pastors, was true and accurate. And we have a similar responsibility to ensure that what we hear from the pulpit, what we hear on so-called Christian TV or radio, is accurate to the Word of God, that it's the whole counsel of the Word of God and not merely a philosophical approach or a narrow, limited, or misinterpretation of the revealed Word of God. So he tells us that he will not allow our foot to be moved. And this implies a stability, a sure-footedness, even as we often make a representation that the Lord Jesus Christ is the rock of ages. He's that sure foundation. The church's one foundation, as we often sing, is Jesus Christ our Lord. And therefore, as he is that unmovable rock, that sure foundation, the chief cornerstone of the faith. We thus can trust that He will hold us safely and securely, even as He promises that none can pluck us out of His hand. Therefore, we can have great hope and great assurance, great confidence in the fact that He is not going to allow our foot to be moved. The next verse indicates that the God that we serve will never sleep. He's always awake. He's always observant. The psalmist says elsewhere that he is aware of all things that occur, not only in the daylight, but in the darkness. And then again, specifically saying that our God neither slumbers nor sleep. He is the one who protects Israel. He's the one who watches over us even when we sleep. Even as in Genesis 28:15, He appeared to the sleeping Jacob in a dream and promised to watch over him. Our God never slumbers nor sleeps. And this is different than man-made gods. The Phrygians, for example, had a notion that their God slept during the winter months. He was only awake during the summer months. And many times, the gods that man creates in his image have the limitations of humanity, the frailties and the corruptions of humanity. The Greek and Roman pantheon of gods had all of the corrupt evils that are present in the human character. They were capable of murder and adulterous relationships and hatred and envy and all of the evil characteristics of the fallen nature. But the God of the Bible is absolutely holy and absolutely perfect in all of His attributes. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. And therefore we can be encouraged that He's aware of all things, even the sufferings that we endure for His sake. He takes note of them. He promises to hold those persecutors accountable in His due time. He promises to reward us for our faithfulness and our obedience. We must not look at things in the short-sighted nature of the human perspective. We must recognize, even as the psalmist throughout the Psalms, though David often lamented the present prosperity of the rich, or the rich and the famous, the wicked, nevertheless, he always came back to the conclusion that they were only rich and powerful in the moment, in the present, but not in the eternal perspective. For this is all the heaven that they shall have. And he knew that God would ultimately hold them accountable, that there would be a day of reckoning, a day of judgment. And therefore, the Christian can take heart and take hope in the eternal perspective of God, realizing that our happiness is not in this world, in this time frame, in the limited years that we have on this earth. Our hope and our promise is for an eternal reward, an everlasting joy, and the eternal bliss of heaven. And therefore, this psalm, which was often used by travelers to secure and petition for safety, to look to the Lord for protection in those dangerous times. Oftentimes the robbers hid in the mountains, and when a traveler would travel on one of those mountain roads, it was a very great risk, a great peril to venture forward. And yet, we recognize that we too live in a sinful world, a dangerous world. But when we look to the Lord, we know that He will guide us, He'll direct our steps, He'll protect us, and that He will secure our safe passage to that eternal celestial city. This psalm then is an encouragement to us, as it was in the days of the Hebrew captivity in Babylon. It is a reinforcement of our faith. It's a reminder that there's a sovereign, all-seeing, all-knowing God who has the power and the will to protect His people. And thus, as we enter into this time of prayer meeting tonight. We recognize that we gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. We look to the Lord for help. We receive fellowship from one another, from fellow believers. But our true hope and our true help comes from the Lord. Dan, would you close with hymn number 286?
We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens His will to make known. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing. Sing praises to His name. He forgets not His own. Beside us to guide us, our God with us joining, ordaining, maintaining His kingdom divine. So from the beginning, the fight we were winning, Thou, Lord, wast at our side, all glory be Thine. We all do extol Thee, Thou leader triumphant, and pray that Thou still our defender will be. Let Thy congregation escape tribulation. Thy name be ever praised. O Lord, make us free.
Amen. I said that this is a traveler's psalm, a pilgrim psalm. And as such, it is often a favorite of many Christian pilgrims as they approach the end of physical life. It is a reminder to us that there is an eternity. There's a God who rules and reigns over all and who promises to safely deliver us to that heavenly city. If we have our faith placed in the one and only hope, the one name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. And such is the help from the Lord. He is our only hope. He's our only help. He's our only salvation. May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Do we have any thoughts tonight regarding help from